Okay, we continue the next part of the Mishnah. We're on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, different laws regarding a Kohen Gadol and a king. And one of the laws regarding a Kohen Gadol is Choletz V'Choltzin. A Kohen Gadol is permitted to make Chalitza, and if he dies, you can do Chalitza with his widow, but he cannot perform Yibum. And that's the one we're going to focus on. He cannot marry his deceased brother's wife. He cannot do that.
Why would his wife need chalitza if she's not allowed to get married anymore?
We're talking about the Kohen Gadol's wife. The Kohen Gadol's brother's wife dies. She needs Yibum.
The brother dies.
The Kohen Gadol's brother
dies. His wife.
And now his wife needs Yibum. His wife needs Yibum. Now, you can be married in one of two ways, of one of two stages. You can be married with Erusin, where there was betrothal, but yet you didn't live as husband and wife, but that's still called married. And such a woman, if the husband dies at that stage, also requires Yibum. Okay? And then there's a second stage, if they actually were married as husband and wife, and then the husband dies. So the Mishnah said a general statement. It said a Kohen Gadol does not perform Yibum on his sister-in-law, not seeming to distinguish as to whether the brother was married at either stage, at which stage of marriage did it happen. And this is going to prompt a question. So the Gemara says, Ka Pasuk, the Mishnah taught Pasuk categorically, Vitani, and said the fact that what? Kohen Gadol cannot do Yibum on his sister-in-law, which would imply, without any distinctions, would appear lo shna, that makes no difference, min ha'erisin, if she's a widow from the betrothal only, v'lo shna, and it doesn't make a difference, min ha'nisuin, after the actual nisuin, where they now live as husband and wife. And to this, the Gemara is going to ask a question on one of the two scenarios. Bishlema, I understand if you tell me a Kohen Gadol cannot do even with his sister-in-law, who she was married to his brother, mina nesuim, after nesuim, where they were living as husband and wife. Now, what's the main difference that happens before versus after they're living as husband and wife? What's the main difference?
She's not a virgin.
She's not a virgin anymore. Okay, that's the point. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to tell me that they were living as husband and wife, now, let's try to figure out the math over here. Why can a Kohen Gadol not do Yibum to his sister-in-law? Well, there's prohibition. What's the prohibition?
He has to marry a virgin.
Well, you've said two over here. Can't marry a virgin. Yes, has to marry a virgin. That's a mitzvah asay. And there's a los asay. He can't marry a widow. It's a positive and a negative. Okay, what do we got on the other side? There's a mitzvah to do Yibum. So what's the how's the math work out? Yeah. Well, I have a mitzvah yibum, I have an asay that wants to push off a lav, a negative of marrying a widow, plus pushing off a positive that he has to marry a virgin. So that I understand if the brother was completely married to his wife, then havi asay, there's a positive mitzvah that he Kohen Gadol must marry a virgin. Velo sasei, and a negative avera that he may not marry a widow. And then it makes a lot of sense. Next page, you test Amud Aleph. Ve'ein asei, and the positive miss of doing Yibum is not strong enough to be doche, to push away a lo sasei va'asei, the negative avera of marrying a widow, and to transgress the positive mitzvah of marrying a virgin, it's not strong enough to do that. This is all in the commentary that I said. So that makes sense. However, what doesn't make sense, Elamina Eris and Amai, but if they were only betrothed, and therefore he had not lived with his wife yet, so what's the math now?
Positive against the negative.
So Yavo Asay, let the positive, we have a rule, a positive mitzvah can push off only a negative mitzvah. So let the positive mitzvah performing Yibum push off the negative avera of marrying a widow. Yavo asay v'yidcha lo sasay. Okay, you hear the question? It's a good question because he's let the mitzvah push it off. Yes, sir.
How is she an almana if she's not fully married to the guy yet? It's like
she's still considered an almana. She's
even just
a widow is a widow. Right, that she's a widow. That she was married. She's no longer. She's widowed. She doesn't. There's somebody else had rights to her, and now doesn't have rights to her. So that's a widow. So here's a fascinating answer. When does the man perform the mitzvah of yibum precisely? And I'll add, and for how long does he perform the mitzvah of yibum? What do you say? What? Tell me what the mitzvah is specifically. Specifically,
they don't have kids.
Okay, what's the action that the man must do to perform the mitzvah of Yibum? The action is he's got to do something. Does he hit a golf ball? What does he do? He has to live with her. He has to sleep with her. Oh, okay. He has to sleep with her. Sorry, I didn't hear. I didn't hear. I'm sorry. Bia. Okay, so how often does he perform this mitzvah? How many times? Once. The Bia makes her his wife. So the first time he lives with her is the only time he performs the mitzvah of Bia, of Yibum. The only time. What happens the second time he sleeps with her? No mitzvah. No mitzvah. Now, question is, isn't she still... Now, here's the interesting what the Gemara is assuming here, which you wouldn't mind a question here, and we'll see if there's any commentary on this, but how long is she a widow? Gemara seems to disagree with that point. That's where you might want to contend. I understand. Okay, so now let's see what's going on over here. No.
Status stays with her throughout her life.
He waits for 3 months anyway. He waits 3 months. Now he waits for him. Now he does Bia Rishona. Okay, he does a mitzvah. Now, is he doing a mitzvah when he's doing the second Bia? No. But there's still the Avera of marrying a widow. Okay, I know what you're going to ask. Let's just read it inside first, and then you'll. Gemara says, "Gzera, it's a decree. Bia Rishona, the first Bia is 100% okay, but the problem is Atu because of Bia Shnia, the second Bia, meaning only the first cohabitation is the fulfillment of Yibum. Therefore, a Kohen Gadol will continue to have intimate relations with his brother's widow after the first cohabitation. He'd violate the prohibition against relations with a widow." To avoid such an occurrence, the rabbis banned even the first act of cohabitation. In other words, the mitzvah of marrying a widow, really, it's not, you know, what we tick off when you're signing a legal document, when you're going to the government and they say, what's your marital status? Mm-hmm. You know, you say, well, woman's a widow. I don't even know if they have that anymore on the on the income tax. Okay. But a lot of them, it could be, you know, sexist face, you know, widow. You know. But wait a second. So we're coming from the perspective, well, once she's married to the Kohen Gadol, she's not a widow anymore. No, widow means she was once married to a man who died. That always is there. She always was betrothed to this other man before, and you're never going to say it didn't happen. So just like a Kohen can't marry a widow, you know, so what happened? It doesn't matter if she's now remarried, she's still... See, you're looking at the English connotation of widow. Widow means she's living after her husband dies, and until she gets married, then she's no longer widow. In Torah law, she is still recognized as a woman who was with another man, even though it was only... what do you call it? It was only from Erisin, but she was with another man. And the Kohen, for whatever reasons, God says a Kohen Gadol cannot be married to a woman who was even with Nisuin, Erisin, to another man. The fact she's now married to him does not take that off. That's what the Gemara is saying. Although in an anglicized world, we would call her, she's not, because we're saying a widow means she's a woman who's living after her husband died. So now if she remarries, she's no longer a widow. In the Torah's eyes, she was, at least as in terms of the Kohen Gadol is concerned, she always, till the day she dies, she has memories of her first husband that she was married to. And that makes her a permanent widow. Even though, you have to understand what happens if you're writing a ksuva and a woman
doesn't matter, but she still was
married once to the other man and was in a widowed status, and that status never really goes away.
But it's a positive mitzvah that could put up a negative, that he has to.
No, it's not a positive. No. The only positive mitzvah we're dealing with is bia. Pega ksuva is not a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a d'rabbanan.
No, but part of the ksuva is to when she wants relations.
Doesn't matter, he doesn't have to be married to her. That's a mitzvah if you have to do it.
He doesn't have
to marry her. Once he does Bir Rishona, that's it. Bir Rishona is the mitzvah that he has to do. Then go divorce her. Go divorce. You fulfill the mitzvah. Now that obviously, listen, Sam, why didn't the Gemara think, Torah says she can't marry a widow, right? So just say, wait a minute, every time he's with her, he's paying her ksuva. That's what Ase Dochalosa say. More never suggests that. Because you just don't do it. Don't be married to her. Okay, here the bia. Okay, you're going to say the first one is mamish a mitzvah, and only he could do the mitzvah. All right, so he could technically do the first bia, but rabbis said can't do that, because if he does one bia, he'll probably do another bia. And the second bia would not push it off. Yeah?
Well, why not just do a chalitza in the first place?
That's what the Mishnah says.
Oh.
The Mishnah says they do chalitza na'ibum. Exactly what your point is, and that's what the Mishnah say. Yeah.
Actually, I have three
points. Oh man! Oh man!
But when we say, like, for all these times it says you have to treat the widow and the orphan, so would we?
So let's make another shidduch for her. Find her someone who's.
I'm just saying, would we say that a woman who remarried after her first husband died is still in that category?
No.
Only because it's...
No, she's not. And that's what I'm saying. It's a unique situation. When the woman who's a widow marries a regular Yisrael, she's not called a widow anymore, but the thing is, regular Yisrael is allowed to marry a widow.
A regular
Kohen. A reg can even marry a widow.
Right.
But a Kohen Gadol can't. A Kohen Gadol cannot marry a woman who once, quote-unquote, was connected to another man. Period. Period.
So we're saying that
he has special status. Kohen Gadol can't even be metame himself to a pair who dies.
So we're saying that really,
he can't be with a woman who was with another man. Period. Kohen Gadol.
Widow really still applies normally in Torah,
right?
Too. It's just, this is an exception.
That's because there's two aspects to a woman being a widow. She was with another man, plus she doesn't have a man to take care of her. So now, when she gets married, so as far as we're concerned, there's only one problem for other people. She's being taken care of. So she's not a widow. But as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, he can't be with a woman who was with another man. Even if it's only Erison.
Because right. I'm just trying to say the definition that we normally think of widow still applies. This is just an exception.
Right. And the definition of widow changes vis-a-vis a Kohen Gadol.
Right. Okay.
That's what I... That was the original line I made, but it was too early to get absorbed.
The other question is, once they're married, he said that he hasn't had any mitzvah for the second time.
Of Yibum.
Yibum is once.
Of Yibum.
Right, but then he saw, like a married couple, he still has a mitzvah to...
That's what I asked.
That's what Sam asked.
I gotta speak loud.
That's what Sam asked. Yeah. But that's what we already said. So why can't a coin? So then a coin. Why can't a coin marry any widow? Because it'd be a mitzvah of
no,
taking care of her.
Math works out. But yeah, I guess I'm saying I add another mitzvah.
Torah doesn't say that's not a real big biblical mitzvah, as it were.
So the last one was. I think I asked this last week. I usually ask this because I've had the connection.
Zika. Zika. Remember the Zika virus. Just remember the Zika virus. So she has a Zika. She has a Zika then. So that Zika has to be removed. It can be removed in one of two ways. It can be removed that he does a chalitza with her. It can be removed he does bia with her and then divorces her.
Does he really have a Zika if he couldn't marry in the first place? There is a Zika.
No, there is a Zika, but the problem is, as you'll see in a minute, you'll see. You know what, Shelley? How about if you just wait for the next line? It's going to address your issue. The next line is going to address your issue. Tanya Namehagi. Let's bring a brisa that substantiates what we just said. Now look at this with the Kohen Gadol. Now, what if Kohen Gadol doesn't listen? Let me ask you a question now. Let's say the woman is falls to Yibam, and the Kohen Gadol does Yibam with her anyway. Now, would you say it was a valid Yibam? And they don't have to divorce her, of course. We're going to say it's totally invalid, because wasn't allowed to do it.
He did it, so that's going to embarrass him. No.
What if a Kohen, what if a Kohen, what if a Jew, what if a Jew marries a Shiksa?
Nothing.
Does he have to give her a get?
It's not a marriage.
It's not a marriage. So the Torah does many prohibited unions. If you violate it, it's just like nothing happened. So the question is, well, the Kohen Gadol's got a prohibition. He cannot marry a woman who's a divorcee, a mona. What if he marries her anyway? So let's see. Tanya Namiachi. Let's see a price that supports our idea. If a Kohen Gadol goes ahead and performs the first act of cohabitation with his brother-in-law's widow from Erusin, where there it is, the positive mitzvah of Yibum is there, see? But there's a negative avera of marrying a widow, right? So what happens? Kanu. He acquires her, meaning to say he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibum. She is considered his wife. But then look what happens. Va'asar l'kaimam, he may not maintain her to be with him, but be a shnia for the second act of bia, and therefore he has to divorce her, because the next relationship would be forbidden. So what do you see? From the Bryce's ruling that the Yibum takes effect, it's evident that on the level of scriptural law, the widow is permitted to the Kohen Gadol. Hence, this brisa supports the Gemara's assertion above that the first act of is forbidden only according to rabbinic law. In other words, this first act is biblically permitted. The second act would not be biblically permitted. Because the second act, there's no mitzvah of Yibum anymore. And there's still the Avera, so to speak, of him being with a woman who was. Let's change that. For him to be with a woman who was a widow, not who is a widow. You hear the difference? Who was. She'll always was a widow, although she may not presently be a widow. Do you hear the difference? So therefore, so that taka would be. So therefore, Shelley, obviously she has a Zika. If she didn't have a Zika, then he didn't fulfill a mitzvah. That's what the Bryce said. There is a Zika. The Zika has to come off. So the simple way is do chalitza. We have many cases like this where you have cases where, not just because the guy's a Kohen Gadol, there's cases where he cannot be married to this woman, depending on, let's say he's married to a close relative of hers. Let's say the brother-in-law who's alive married another woman who's also a relative of the sister-in-law, and that man may not be permitted to both of these women at the same time. Biblical prohibition, no less than a Kohen's biblical prohibition of marrying a widow. So she still has a Zika to the extent that there has to be a chalitza. So the Zika is always there. The Zika is always there. You just get rid of the Zika. And you get rid of the Zika with the chalitza. And that's how we get out of it. You were saying, let's say there's no Zika to begin with. Well, then you've knocked out 95% of chalitzas, because many chalitzas are required because you're not able to do it. That's the whole point. There's technical reasons that don't allow you to do it, but the Zika is always there.
Yeah, no, I see, because you can do this the one time.
Right. We don't suggest that because it's very cruel to be with a woman one time and then divorce her. Yeah. So therefore, we say do a Zika. Even if...
New, definition of one night stand.
That's right. And Torah says it can never be such a thing, even if it's a mitzvah. You don't do it one time, yeah?
I was just wondering, with the mitzvah of yibum, isn't it two parts to actually fulfill the mitzvah? Like, also have the relation, obviously, and then also bring a child for your brother in your brother's name?
But that's not the actual mitzvah. That's what we'll call the intent, but that's not the actual mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of marrying her. Yeah. Marrying her. So that mitzvah is done. Afterwards, then there's the, you know, the Kabbalistic thing and the rest of the thing, but that's not the biblical mitzvah. That's what the follow-up of the mitzvah is. So we're just saying, it's okay, we're not, it's not able to do it. That's all.
What's the status of Jazzy Kid after that one time? What's the status of the kid?
Okay, I would guess the kid is a kosher Kohen.
Because of the kosher union.
It was a kosher union. Biblically, it's a kosher union. I don't know what we'd say rabbinically, though. Maybe rabbinically, they may not, you know, make a gzera. I don't know. Maybe biblically, he's a full-fledged Kohen. No problem. Rabbinically, they may say we don't want him to serve because he wasn't supposed to get married. Depending on what the rabbi, that's what I guess got to learn Maseches Yevamos to get into all those details. Okay? Good?
Well, didn't have to say
I thought this sleeper, what are we doing in 2 minutes? But it's okay, it's fine.
It didn't have to say Eretz, it's for Nesuin also the same.
No, we're saying even Eretz. Oh, I don't know about that. Whoa. Nesuin, I don't know. Because then there was no mitzvah, the mitzvah say wasn't allowed. I don't know if that would be the case. It wouldn't be the case because he wasn't allowed to make the case where we're saying for Mina Nisarisin, that's only rabbinically we're saying she can't do it because of the second Bia. Biblically, it's okay, but if she was completely living with the first brother, now biblically he wasn't allowed to do it. So then maybe the Kiddushin wouldn't be Tofes. Kiddushin wouldn't be Tofes. And maybe then he would still have to do a Chalitza. I don't know.
Wait, goes back to my question then.
We have to learn Yevamos.
If she was already living with her first husband, now how can we say there's a Zika? Because
there's still a Zika.
Do it anyway.
There's still a Zika. You just remove the Zika. But the Zika is there. There's a side issue that won't permit it. But we always say the Zika is there. The Zika is there, but you can't deal with it in the way you want to deal with it. So we have to deal with the Zika. She is bound to this home. That's the rule is she has no children. She is bound to this home till she's released. So just release her and give her a chalitza. That's all. That's all there is to it. You give up chalitza. We don't say that since they can't get married anyway, there's no Zika. No, there's a Zika, but you have to do a chalitza. But this is all Yevamos stuff, and I don't want to fall into it now. There is all different kinds of levels where you're going to say there isn't even a Zika. But here, okay, let's move on. Next case, I wanted to know one thing. You know, did it apply to Arison also? And we said yes. That's okay. Next, we move on to mourning with a U. Meis lo meis. If someone close to Kohen Gadol dies, there was a machlokas in the Mishnah. Reb Meir says the Kohen Gadol can follow the funeral procession, but at a distance. Remember, you wait till they turn the corner. Reb Yehuda says the Kohen Gadol can't even go out of the temple. So what is the explanation of the machlokas? Very short explanation, very short. Sugya Tana Rabbanan. Well, the question, if you look at it, there's one pasuk that seems to, the Torah, when it describes what happens, seems to be siding with Reb Meir very nicely. Why? Because it says about the Kohen Gadol the following words, Umin ha-mikdash lo yetze, he may not go out of the temple. That's pretty straightforward. Take a look. Pasuk says, on the Kohen Gadol, where his close relatives dies, he shall not leave the sanctuary, he shall not desecrate the sanctuary of his God, for a crown, the oil of his God's anointment, is upon him, I am Hashem. So, that would seem to Mamish be Reb Meir, says he can't leave the temple. So what's this other, or Reb Yehuda rather, well, how does Reb Meir explain that he says he can go out, but he just can't turn the corner, right? According to the opinion, it says he can't go to the base of Migdash, it seems to be right. So he answers, what happened here? Lo yetze. And it means, however, he explains, lo yetze imahem. Misimenaka with them. Because he can't go out of the Beis Hamikdash with the funeral procession. That's what it means. Not just he can't go out of the Beis Hamikdash, period. He can't go out, because obviously his parents died, there's a funeral. He can't go out with the funeral. That's how he learns it. Avol yotzehu achareim, but he could leave after them and not so closely. Ketzad, how do you do it? The way the Mishnah said. Hey nichnasin, they, when they are hidden from view, v'hu nigla, he appears. Hey niglan, they appear in view, v'hu nichsa, he is hidden. That is, you got to keep the carriers out of his sight. He can only enter street when they have turned the corner. So that's how he learns from a mikdash. So the first, the Rav Yehuda says, he says straight, you can't go to the mikdash, period. He's saying, no, I can't go out of the mikdash with them. But as long as you don't go out with them, then you're okay. All right, next point in this Mishnah, same next sentence of the Mishnah. V'yotze ad ha-Pesach. And he goes with them until the entrance. These are the words of Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda says a Kohen Gadol can't leave the temple at all. Okay, again, can't leave the temple at all. So again, the Gemara comes back. Shapar come Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda, didn't Reb Yehuda argue very well that he says can't leave the temple at all? I don't know why the Gemara is asking if it just dealt with it. It seems to be asking it a second time. Amar lech Reb Meir. Reb Meir says, listen, if you're going to say that, I got a really great question to ask you. I hachi eber zeh. How does the guy, Lebeso, how does the guy ever go home? If the Pasuk says he can't leave the temple, says he can't leave, Lebeso Namelos, he could ever go home. But of course he can go home. Kohen Gadol is certainly allowed to leave the temple to go to his own home. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the prohibition is only against leaving the temple in order to join the funeral procession. But you can't say the Pasuk just means you can't ever leave the Beis HaMikdash. The problem is the funeral procession. Therefore, Meir argues the verse cannot be taken literally, then it would prohibit a Kohen Gadol to leave the temple for any reason, even to go home. So what does it really mean? Elohaki Kamar, when it says, Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze, when it says he may not go out of the temple, it means Mikdushaso Lo Yetze. He shouldn't leave from his holiness. Like a Jew is an individual Mikdash. He shouldn't leave his own holiness and defile himself. Okay? And therefore, says Reb Meir, Rekim and Leisekir, since he has a warning signal by keeping out of sight, Lo Asi Laminga, he won't come to touch the coffin. Aye, so now, really, Reb Meir makes more sense. We're giving you all the precautions, so what's Reb Yehuda's problem? Let him go out at a great distance. So what's Reb Yehuda going to answer? Emotion. Reb Yehuda, Agav Merarayo, since he's so bitter in spirit, Dilma Mikri, it could happen, and he'll go closer, v'nog and touch it. So according to both Rav Meir Yehuda, the prohibition against following a funeral procession immediately behind the bier, according to Rav Meir, even at this point, Yehuda, is only rabbinic. The verse, he shall not go out, is used merely as an asmachta, a scriptural allusion to the rabbinic law. At a level of biblical law, this verse teaches a different point. Okay, so therefore, there's really no machlokas. Everyone agrees, biblically, he could go out. The only question is, do the rabbis, how far would the rabbis go? Reb Meir says the rabbis only say, if they're in sight, you can't be in sight. Reb Yehuda says, no, no matter what. Why? Because even if not in sight, he can be so emotional, he'll just run anyway. And he'll catch up to the bier, and he'll touch the dead body. He won't control his emotions, and therefore we won't allow that at all. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we talk about the comforting aspect of the Kohen Gadol.